Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, it was nothing at all. It's no regard for God whatsoever. The son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. It's an interesting story coming up. Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So he outright goes and serves, takes a foreign princess to wife, and begins serving the god that she worships, just like Solomon began in his later years. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundations thereof in Abathiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. Okay, we're in chapter 17 on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. And Elijah, okay, now we're going to get into some really exciting stuff. Elijah was quite the prophet. During a very, very bad time in Israel and Judah. And God's going to use him in some amazing ways. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan. So Elijah comes to the king, said, "We in for a long drought, and it's all because of what you're doing." You know, it's interesting to note, you can have a nation that's generally falling after God, and its king or leadership turns their back on God, there will be punishment over the whole nation. Even though those other folks are trying to do what they're supposed to do, you know, God will single them out and give them blessings and protections within the nation. But the king and the president set the tone for the nation itself. Does America follow God now? I think we're trying. With our leadership right now, we come out of a very bad season with Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Come out of a very, very bad season. Those fellers basically set up altars to Baal in the high places. And God has anointed a special shepherd for America at this time. And this book talks about that. You can catch that on other episodes of Between the Lines, a time such as this. God, the Bible says, America is in this book. The Bible says, "I will place a special shepherd over a nation who was a golden cup in my hand at one time, but has faltered, because I need them to protect the nation of Israel in the end days." I think we have entered that period. So Elijah goes out by the brook. God told him, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." Okay, it's a lot of interesting stuff to think about here. Elijah, the prophet, the holy man, tries to keep the law. Okay, you can be made unclean by certain things in the law. The raven is an unclean bird, and shall not be touched or eaten or anything like that. God has, he wants Elijah to feel some of what he's feeling. So he sends these ravens to feed him. He's taking food out of from the talents of an unclean bird. And by the law, that makes Elijah unclean. So if you are a man that follows the law, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, you follow the law and you know you're doing something against the law, makes you feel bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a conviction of the spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So God wants Elijah to feel a little bit about what he's feeling, because these people have turned against God, worshiping other gods. God is feeling it. He doesn't like it. You know, there's a whole lot of prophets that God treats like this, even to the extreme. When you get to the prophet Hosea, the people have really, the entire nation has turned against God, and what God says, they have gone a-whoring after other gods. So he says, all right, Hosea, I want you to go take a prostitute as a wife. Hosea's
up.
Yeah. But Lord, the law says no. I shall not touch that type of woman. Okay. But I want you to, because I want you to feel what I'm feeling, so that will put conviction in you to go and preach to these people what I want preached. Every time poor Hosea came home, he had to go find his wife in another man's bed. But you know what? He followed God. How many you preachers out there, God spoke to you, said, I want you to go down on Sproul Avenue and pick you out a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going down there.
Yep.
That obviously not you talking, God. It's obviously a different voice talking. But I tell you what, God is in charge of all things.
And it just shows you how far his reach is, too, and the people that he uses.
Absolutely. Good, right. Bad, or indifferent. He is in charge of everything. When he needs something really badly done, he puts it on Satan. I task you with this. Do it now. And he did according to unto the word of the Lord, for he took and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Came to pass after the while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I have paved your way. Go to this city, and I will get you through this drought, because I need you to do some stuff for me. So he rose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. How much choreography can I show you in here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're over there. It's a 5 days journey.
He's already talked to her.
Yeah, yes.
He's already prepared her.
She don't even know it.
Yeah.
She don't even know it. He's just nudging her. I think I'll go to the garden, to the gate of the city this morning. I bet there's sticks there. You know, God has his finger in every part and aspect of society that goes on today. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And he says, As the Lord, and she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. We have completely run out of food. There's a drought in the land. Have you heard? We're down to our last meal, and that's all I have. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Okay, I understand you have enough to make one cake. Go and make it and give it to me first. Christian, charity is also a major theme in this book. even if it comes from your less than adequate availability. Charity, when you don't have it to give, brings joy to God and blessings to your life. Don't do it for the blessings. You do it for the joy of your heart, giving to your neighbor. And if thus the heart is right, and the heart has joy in giving out of your less than adequate means, God will bless you. Charity from your wealth. Yes, that's good too, but it really doesn't cut to the matter of, am I truly willing to give? You know, one of the reasons for the tithe, God doesn't need your money. But he noticed right off the bat, well, as soon as money came on the scene, money tended to have the focus of man's heart. Or man's heart, where money is, there is the man's heart. So if the man can give of his money, obviously the heart has some control over the mind. Always be charitable in all fashions, even when you can't afford to do it, especially when you can't afford to do it. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. If you do this, if you give me the cake, if you have enough faith to make your last cake, I know your kid's hungry, and give it to me, you will have plenty of flour and plenty of oil. There will always be one serving of flour and oil in your barrel and your cruse. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And some people have said that somehow, if you take it back to the Hebrew, a full year in the actual Hebrew word meant a full year. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So it came to pass, she gave Elijah the cake. Oh, went back to the barrel, and there was enough to make another cake. The next day, there was enough to make another cake. Amazing how God does things. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. So, we have in this life a spiritual battle going on all the time. Forces of good, forces of evil, constantly battling for the minds and hearts of men. So this woman has just blessed this holy man, brought him into her house, fed him with her last morsel, and she sees he is truly a man of God, because what he pronounced has taken place. Her barrel and her cruse of oil have never run out since the day he spoke it. Then evil has to tear that down, because her faith is great at the moment. Mm-hmm. And evil always comes in on the tail end of a triumph of God. You can never not expect it. And it's nothing God does. Sometimes it's a test. I just brought you through a good time. Let's see how you do a bad time. Mm-hmm. But evil will always come in and try to steal the victories that God has placed in your life. So now, I see my way through this drought. I have a holy man living here. I'm going to be fed. My son's going to be fed. Things are good. Oh, came to pass after these things that the son of the woman and the mistress of the house fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath. He died. What does she say? And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay me? Who's she blaming, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. Herself.
Blaming God and herself. Mm-hmm. I brought you here, and now my sins are catching up with me, and I'm going to die, and my son is dead. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up unto the loft where he abode, and laid upon him in his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And you see, the soul is the animating property of the body. You cannot clone a body and expect it to live, although they do, because they're indwelled with a different spirit.
Oh, yes.
It's what's called an empty vessel. I wrote a book about it years ago when the cloning started, and I guarantee they're cloning human beings. You clone a human body, which we have the technology to do today, it's an empty vessel, and it will be filled by a passing spirit. That's what they look for. They currently, in the natural society, they look for vessels that are of weak control, where the spirit is so loosely controlling this body that they can indwell it.
It's like a big open door.
Yeah. And the amount of indwelling that they do is how powerful, is how strong the spirit is. You know, if you're like half weak, they'll come in and live with you. If you're really weak, they'll come in and rule the place. So, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know thou art a man of God. I knew it before, but I doubted when my son died. Maybe you're a false man of God, an evil guy. But I really know it now.
Yeah, you tricked me.
And that the Lord, at the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, is truth. So, we have a reaffirmation. We had a blessing from God, and then Satan came and tried to steal it away, and God has reaffirmed it, and now she's a true believer. In chapter 18, the book of 1 Kings, WVFF 97.7, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. And you know what? I'm going to leave it there today, but I want you to really look at chapter 17, because that is an excellent story to dwell on. Have you been in that situation when God brought a blessing and the next day terrible calamity came? You know, we pay for our sins in this life. I've said that many, many times. What you do in this flesh, you will pay for in this flesh. Through tragedy, emotional distress, disease, sickness, hardships. You know, God can bless you, but your sins must be paid for. And she was right to say, have my sins come back to me? Yeah, yes, they had. Had she not been sinful in the past, Satan would not have the authority to come in and do that. It's all a matter of authority. The Bible says he stands before the Father day and night and accuses and asks. It's up there, Jonathan's been a bad boy this week. Father, let me kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he hasn't been that bad. You can go and do this and this, but don't go any further.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's the way it works. Jonathan's soul saved by Jesus Christ? Absolutely.
Right.
The spirit man will one day stand before God holy as you can get through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the spirit man loses control. Not saying Jonathan's a sinful man.
No.
He's just, he's in front of me and he's easy to use.
Yeah. Easy target. Yeah.
You will be judged by your heart, and the flesh will go to the grave with scars from the sins that you commit here on earth. Been good to be here with you today on WVFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.